Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to a Buddha special here on the show today. We are making up yesterday's program, which had some technical difficulties, but we are happy to be with you today. And I'm going to jump right into the fray today and introduce our guest. He is one of the members of Project Mayhem, a member of the Idaho Wrestle Club roster. He is the gunslinger Chuck Yeager. Chuck, welcome to the program. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Well, as you might know, on this program, we have a traditional first-timer question. And since it is your first time with us, I'm going to hit you with it. How did you get into this crazy business of professional wrestling?
It started out when I was in California with WCWF. A buddy of mine had a friend who knew a friend who wrestled with them. And we went and ended up going to one of their training sessions and talking with their trainers and got in with them. But unfortunately, didn't get a debut with them as I moved up here to Idaho.
When you moved to Idaho, had you been researching professional wrestling up there, or did you put all of wrestling on hold and it wasn't until after you got there that you started researching the sport?
As soon as I found out I was moving up to Idaho, I immediately went on Google, Facebook, Reddit, anything I can find to look up wrestling promotions in Idaho. I just got lucky enough to move right where Wrestle Club is based out of. And unfortunately, at first, when I moved up here, I wasn't able to start with them due to some working conflicting schedules. Once all that got figured out, I eventually talked to them, got in with them, and now here I am today.
When you started out at Wrestle Club, you said you researched through the online venues to find Wrestle Club, but had you researched very much about the individual talent at Wrestle Club? Did you look into Project Mayhem and find out what they were about before joining, or was your first introduction to them after you already started at Wrestle Club?
I wasn't brought into Project Mayhem until after I had started wrestling with the club. That was brought up a little while later when Brad Zane won the heavyweight championship. Myself and Trevino decided to align ourselves with one of the greatest in Wrestle Club and helped him win that title.
I bring up Trevino. He, of course, has been your regular tag team partner. You've held the Wrestle Club tag team titles with him multiple times. Unless it is a six-man tag team match, usually Project Mayhem pairs off you and Trey as a tag team, Brad Zane as a singles. Do you personally have a preference when it comes to tag teams versus singles wrestling?
Personally, I don't have a preference. I can dominate either singles or a tag, but it's always so much more fun when you have somebody there with you. Plus, you get a break. You don't have to go there and do all the hard work yourself. You have somebody to help you with that hard work. And that's great. Who doesn't want one or two of their best friends having their back and being able to help them with light work?
Looking at the current landscape of Wrestle Club, you and Trevino are sort of chasing after the tag team titles at this point. The current champions, of course, Pinguino and his partner Massimo. You had a close call at the last Wrestle Club event and were unable to take the titles back. As someone that has dominated the tag team scene for quite a bit, what has it been like for you not having those titles and having to chase after them?
Man, that's simple. Frustrating. Project Mayhem is always being screwed one way or another, whether it's the refs or management or the fans out there who want to run their mouths and get in the way and cheer for all these incompetent people. But it's just frustrating in the end. But I'll tell you one little thing. We always have a plan. This plan may be short-term. It may be long-term. But you will see this plan come into action.
You and Trey have been part of Project Mayhem for a while, but way before you joined Wrestle Club, Project Mayhem was an established entity within Wrestle Club. Damian Black and Brad Zane at one point were what made up Project Mayhem. Going into the group, had you researched what came before you and watched a lot of what Brad Zane and Damian Black had done together? Did you go into it knowing it was going to be completely different? What was it like for you as far as knowing your Project Mayhem history?
Well, I knew that Damian Black and Brad Zane are the original members of Project Mayhem, or, you know, the main focus of Project Mayhem were those two. But things didn't really work out with Damian Black. As you see now, we've shipped him off somewhere in Arizona. But once we decided that we were going to align ourselves with Brad Zane, we just thought, why not bring back Project Mayhem? Why not bring back one of the most established tag teams in the division, in the club, and show, you know, this roster what the new Project Mayhem can do? And we've done that in that short little time we've been here. We've been two-time tag team champions for Wrestle Club. I mean, like I said, we've got a plan. It's just working itself out right now.
One of the big parts of being a professional wrestler is being in condition enough to wrestle. Sometimes you have matches that go 15, 20, 30 minutes, and you have to be in proper shape in order to endure that. One of the things that maintains a wrestler's conditioning is, of course, the diet. You seem to have slimmed down a good bit in the last few months, so I'm sure you have adjusted your diet in order to do that. What's your current diet regimen like to maintain conditioning?
To be honest with you, it's not so much as a diet as I'm watching how much I put into me, whether it be how much, you know, sugar I have for the day or carbs and whatnot. It's not so much about all that as it is for me is portion size. I had a bad habit of just eating what I wanted when I wanted. Here recently, going into 2025, I want to make some changes. Losing weight was one of those changes. So I started sugar-free energy drinks in the morning now. I don't go for all the sugary ones. You know, learn those are a little bit better. Slim down on the amount of pasta I eat. Been told by a great man that pasta is one of the biggest things to get rid of and one of the hardest things to stop eating too, because God, I love pasta. But it's all about, you know, take the advice that people give you, especially the people that know what they're talking about. Take that into consideration and listen to it, and it'll help. I mean, I used to eat all the time. I mean, I still do, but I've changed what I eat, if that makes sense to you guys out there.
I definitely understand what you're saying. Another big factor in maintaining conditioning is, of course, doing cardiovascular work. If you are not in good cardiovascular condition, no matter what the diet is, no matter how muscled up you are or how lean you are, you cannot go for a long period of time in the ring. I'm sure you've got a cardio regimen that you maintain in order to be able to last in the ring. What's the current cardio like for you?
most of my cardio is done at work, whether it's up and down stairs, carrying material, you know, outside of my wrestling life, I still got to pay the bills. So I do flooring for a living. You know, it pays the bills. It does all right. But the material that's carrying around is heavy. So picking that up, lifting that all day long, going up and down stairs with that. I mean, most of my cardio is there, you know, a light jog here and there, you know, to keep my heart rate going, you know, in the evening times, especially now that it's a lot cooler. Other than that, like I said, most of it's all at work.
Do you find yourself ever finding that in your day-to-day job doing flooring, that sometimes you're installing a floor and wrestling fans will recognize you from having gone to events?
I wouldn't say necessarily from my flooring experience, but I have been spotted, you know, out and about the general public, you know.
So nobody's having a floor put in and all of a sudden start screaming, Chuck Yeager's going to cheat our floor here.
I mean, not yet. I mean, hopefully out there, you know, get some of those floors installed. You know, might have to charge them a little extra, but we'll see what we can do.
I mean, if you happen to put down a Chuck Yeager 8x10 into the middle of their floor permanently, I'm sure you'd be able to charge them a little extra.
I mean, that's the signature, right?
There you go. One of the other things that wrestlers have to deal with in the sport is pain management, and everybody that works in wrestling at some point in time is going to have the aches and the pains, whether it's injury or just overuse of muscles and ligaments and tendons. Pain is just a natural part of professional wrestling. At this point in your career, have you found a pain management system that works for you to be able to go out there and wrestle relatively comfortably?
I mean, here recently, like, I never believed in stretching or yoga or anything like that. But discovering DDP yoga, well, I shouldn't say discovering it because I've known about it, but I've had multiple people tell me, you know, DDP yoga is the way to go. I've gotten more into stretching and figuring out how my body works more, be able to condition myself and elevate myself above others in the ring.
We know that your Project Mayhem leader, Brad Zane, has been hobbled with some injuries as of late. When you've broken into doing DDP yoga and sort of changing the diet and doing a little bit different things to get yourself in better shape, is this a group effort that is being done, or are you singularly doing this on your own outside of what Project Mayhem be doing for their own careers?
Well, Project Mayhem as a whole, we've always been about helping each other to the next level. I don't keep this information to myself. I mean, I'm telling the world right now all of this. My partners know all of this. Hell, they've even been slimming down themselves, whether they choose to do this or that. That's their choice. All of this that I'm doing to change myself is my choice. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Project Mayhem. It is to help myself and Project Mayhem. If I'm a better competitor and I'm better in the ring than our competitors, we can reclaim what was taken from us.
Wrestle Club, since some of the early years, has broadcast their events in various forms. At one point in time, they had traditional broadcast television that they were using. They have used live streaming via Facebook Live and YouTube. They have, of course, the YouTube channel where they archive events and matches. Broadcasting has become an extremely important part of professional wrestling, from the smallest independent to the largest of the national companies. They, at some form or another, broadcast in order to cast a wider net to bring in more fans that will pay for the product. When you wrestle, do you find yourself working any differently on shows you know are being broadcast in some form or another versus ones that you know are just going to be seen by the fans in attendance?
I wrestle the same whether there is no people in the building, 5 people in the building, 16 people watching on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it may be. My style of wrestling and how I wrestle doesn't change on the amount of viewership, especially from a live crowd to a broadcast crowd, because it's about the people that are there in the building who paid to see us. They are my main focus. The people who paid their money to watch us do what we love to do. The people on a broadcast, they're out there, you know, they can watch it whenever they want. The people who come to our shows actually want to be at our shows. We put out our promos, our pictures, our videos, all this stuff to bring people in, but it's about those people who actually show up to watch us.
When you watch professional wrestling, presuming you do, on television, when you're watching the shows that are broadcast, and there's a lot of them now, from WWE to AEW to Impact and TNA to WOW Women of Wrestling, do you watch the shows from the viewpoint of someone in the industry looking at how they broadcast and how they shoot wrestling, or are you watching it from the vantage point of a wrestler that's maybe looking at learning new holds, new techniques, or are you watching simply as a fan of the business and enjoying it for what it is, like anyone else watching, or is it a combination of any of those?
It's a combination of all of it. I mean, I'm a big fan of the industry as it is. It's one of the reasons I'm here today. I wouldn't be here if I didn't enjoy wrestling. When I watch it, I'm always watching as a fan, like, oh my God, that is cool, or that guy's an idiot. But when they're in there, I can watch and study what they're doing to help improve on my skill set. It helps me become a better wrestler and ultimately a better person because of that. And when I watch it from a technical standpoint, I'm like, oh, okay, I see what they did there. I see how they did that. Or, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen. Like, I can watch it from all perspectives, and I do, but to be honest with you, I don't watch a whole lot of wrestling nowadays. I go back and watch some of the older stuff every now and then.
Now, when we say older stuff, are we talking like 1950s Lou Thesz versus Argentina Rocca? Are we talking like 1970s Chief J. Strongbow versus Baron Von Raschke? 1980s Roddy Piper versus Jack Briscoe? What are we talking here?
Okay, now, Sangha, I'm not as old as you, so I'm talking, you know, Attitude Era, a little bit, you know, WCW, you know, the Monday Night Wars, you know, that kind of older. Not prehistoric.
Okay, so somewhat older, okay. You have been dipping your toes a little bit into starting to travel outside of Wrestle Club, and I know Idaho is a little bit of an isolated area, so there's not a lot of promotions close by to Wrestle Club, but you can get down to Utah, to Oregon, to Washington for shows if you travel a bit. What's the traveling situation right now? Are you looking to expand out on a more regular basis? Are you just sort of testing things now? Or are you maybe going to rein in the traveling and stay where you're at?
Well, recently I went down to Utah to Devotion Championship Wrestling, you know, DCW down there, and wrestled with them. As for travel-wise, I'm looking to dip my toes in the water, as they would say, now. And then, like I said, 2025, things are going to be changing. I'm looking to expand as far out as I can go to get any show that I can, anywhere that I can, you know, travel permitting, obviously. As of right now, it's feeling things out.
When you say anywhere you can, are you looking at perhaps international travel, especially with things being so open now with a lot of foreign countries just starting professional wrestling and bringing in a lot of North American independent wrestlers?
If the opportunity presents it, I am always willing to take it.
Fair enough. Now, since you have been going down to Utah a little bit and you've traveled around a bit, if there was a young wrestler starting out that is listening to this, what are some of the travel tips you would give them in order to make sure they have a successful road trip?
Number one rule, always bring your gear. Always. If you're there to do ring crew, if you're there to do sound, if you're there just to take pictures, if you're in the business, have your gear with you. You never know what might happen. Second biggest rule is you better not stink. I don't want to sit in a car with you for any amount of time if you stink. It's gross. Third, snacks. Snacks. It's simple. Everybody needs snacks. And fourth, get comfortable. It's a long ride. Make sure the people you're going with are great company. You don't want to have a bad trip all the way down there. Have fun with it. You know you're going down to an awesome show regardless of what you're doing. So enjoy it. The travel part, yeah, they suck, you know, long hours, stuck in a car, but you can always make it a fun time.
If you could go to anywhere in the world right now to wrestle, what would you say is the one place where you've never been that you would most want to go?
Ooh, that's hard. Probably Japan. New Japan. I think that'd be a fun experience.
Now, if you get to Japan, are you stopping by the Ribera Steakhouse and picking up a jacket?
I am going to get me a Wagyu steak. First and foremost. Then we can talk about a jacket.
Fair enough. And we have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Word Association. I'll throw out the names of some people you most likely have come across in your career. First word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
Throw them at me.
Here we go. First name, referee Todd Silver.
Unfair.
The Snake, Garibay.
Slippery.
Matman.
Uncontrollable.
Eric Cole.
The best in the business.
Massimo.
Eh. Great guy. Do I really like him? No.
Mosca.
Fly on the wall.
Trey Vino.
My best friend.
Rick Knight.
Untamable.
Mr. Liberty.
ungrateful.
Gabriel Livings.
Pipsqueak.
Bringing out your May Lee.
Pretty good.
My last name, Cali's Best, Jay Cruz.
Cali's Best.
And we mentioned in the word association, May Lee. She, of course, a fantastic ring announcer, does very well. Ring announcers are often sort of an unappreciated part of the wrestling business. They don't get a lot of the attention, but they are the face of the company. They are who the fans see, whether it's right or wrong, as an authority figure for the company usually, especially when you're at independent shows. A ring announcer has got to give all the information to fans so they know how to spend money to keep the company going. A bad ring announcer can really hurt a promotion. A good one can help it quite a bit. Who would you say are some of the better ring announcers out there?
I'll be honest with you, since I don't watch a whole lot of wrestling, I don't know a lot of the ring announcers. Samantha Irving, though, I know that she is one of the best to ever grace the business of WWE. We've had Kiki Starling, or whatever she goes by now, Jay Cruz's, you know, little wife, friend, whatever you want to call her. She did ring announcing for us a while. Eric Cole has given his great voice to ring announcing before, as well as some of the others in the club have given their voices for it as well. I believe Massimo started out as a ring announcer in his little suit.
Most wrestlers, when they are breaking in especially, but sometimes during the course of their career, they will try different aspects of the business, see if it's a good fit for them or not, or just to have it in the back pocket in case it's needed. Are there any other roles in wrestling to this point that you have performed?
I've worked everything from cameraman to setting up sound to setting up the ring. I mean, I've done just a little bit of everything.
Speaking of rings, the actual physical wrestling ring can vary quite a bit, and especially on the independent circuit, there are a lot of variances. Some rings have cables, some of them have real rope, some of them are as big as 20 feet by 20 feet, others are 16 feet. I have seen a few 14 feet rings. Some of them are very low to the ground. Some of them are 3 or 4 feet high off the ground. The actual construction can vary quite a bit. Some of the frames snap into place. Some of them require tools. Some rings use planks. Some rings use 2x4s. Do you have a personal favorite ring in which you've wrestled?
The ring for WCWF was a little bit stiff, but it was always a good sound when you hit. It was always, I want to say, a smooth hit. When I went down to DCW, their ring was a little tight. Their ropes hurt a little bit. I mean, different companies, like you say, use different materials and whatnot. Wrestle Club, I don't really have any complaints about our ring. I think it's just right.
I would say it's one of the more comfortable rings in which I've worked, and I've worked in a few of them. Now, fans of our show will know from past interviews that one of the things Russell Club is known for is attaching itself to charitable organizations. They often align their events with charities or festivals that are fundraisers for different civic-minded groups. So they're constantly raising money to give back to the community. When you wrestle for a place like Wrestle Club that is not only looking to grow the wrestling business, but also legitimately help the community, does that give you a little bit of a sense of civic pride whenever you go out to wrestle as well?
I mean, there's always a little bit of it when we're out there wrestling for charities, but you know, Project Mayhem doesn't do this for the people out there. We do it for ourselves. So it doesn't matter if we're wrestling in front of 40 sick kids or 40 healthy kids. For us, it's about going out there and putting on our best, which we do each and every time we go out. There's no civic pride just because we're doing something good. We're always doing good the moment we step out of that curtain.
You went down to Devotion Championship Wrestling, and over the last few months, some members of DCW have come up to Wrestle Club for some matches. It looks like there's a little bit of a crossover there between the two companies. Do you follow what's going on with DCW as far as keeping current with who's wrestling whom, the champions, and that sort of thing? Or are you just going down there, wrestling whoever gets in the ring with you, and going right back to Wrestle Club?
I've looked into it a little bit in the past couple of weeks since I've been down there. I was there for Tommy Dreamer winning their championship. I saw talks win his, I believe it's their television championship. So I know a couple other champions, but when I go down there, I'll wrestle whoever they put in front of me. It doesn't matter if they're 6'7" or they're 2'3". I'll wrestle whoever they want to put in that ring with me. And then I'll go back to Idaho and I'll do the same thing. I'll wrestle whoever they want to put in front of me, because it doesn't matter who is put in front of me, I'm going to shoot them down.
And you mentioned Tommy Dreamer. He is someone that has, over the last 30 years, made a very big name for himself wherever he went, whether it was the original ECW or Joe Savoldi's ICW or WWE, TNA, Impact, several independent companies. He's always there making a difference. He's usually right in the mix of things in the top spots of a company at any given time. When you're sharing a locker room with a guy like Tommy Dreamer that has been around so many different places, has so much knowledge of the business, are you trying to study him and what he does to sort of pick up a little bit of that knowledge that you can use in your own career, or are you staying in your own separate lane and just doing what Chuck Yeager needs to do?
Well, I got lucky enough to go to a seminar and hear Tommy Dreamer speak about the business and about himself and everything that has taken him to get to where he is today and how he's done it, what he's done it. And being able to share the locker room with that man, I was able to pick his brain, get some information. Like I said, I'm always out there looking for ways to better myself. If I go into it with the mindset of, oh, I'm just going to stay the way I am or do what I think is best, because, you know, sometimes what I think isn't always best. You know, sometimes there's, you know, little rage moments. You know, sometimes people get mad, they get heated. You know, things don't always go the way you plan. But being able to pick his brain and learn some of the ways that he has been through some certain, you know, troubles or blockages in his career, it was great to be able to find out, you know, what could help me get to the next level.
And we saw video emerge from DCW after their most recent show of Tommy Dreamer getting a God's Gift Jonathan Monroe t-shirt. I'm sure he proudly wears that wherever he goes now. Is there any plan that you have to make sure Tommy Dreamer ups his wardrobe to have a Project Mayhem t-shirt?
First off, I'm pretty sure Tommy Dreamer has already used that God's Gift shirt as toilet paper. I mean, that's the only reason people will buy that. Why they spend their money on expensive toilet paper, I never understand. But yes, there is plans in the works for new Project Mayhem gear here soon. Like I said, 2025, things are going to be changing for Project Mayhem. Our elevation is going up and up and up. We're going to surpass the top. So we'll have new merch here soon.
Are you at liberty to mention what types of merchandise fans can expect?
Starting off simple, you know, shirts, maybe some beanies, especially since we're getting into the colder weather. Possibility of sweaters, maybe some hoodies. We'll have to see. We'll have to see, you know, if you people are good enough for those yet.
Now, when you go down to a different company, since you primarily are at Wrestle Club and you're going to see sort of the same thing a lot of times, are you looking at the merchandise at the different companies to see what they have in case you're able to incorporate some of those items into Project Mayhem merchandise?
Well, you know, after the show, I, you know, dilly-daddled around a little bit looking at the competitions merch, seeing what they have, seeing what sells, what doesn't sell. You know, you've got stuff that sits on your shelf for, you know, weeks, months, years. That's the kind of stuff we don't want to get. It's the kind of stuff people don't want. They're going to grab, use once, and then stick up on their shelf. You know, let's just say that's about the extent that I'll tell you right now.
We mentioned God's Gift Jonathan Monroe just a little bit ago. He is the current reigning and defending Wrestle Club champion. You didn't seem to have very good things to say about Jonathan Monroe. Is going after his Wrestle Club championship something that is on your to-do list at this point?
Well, first off, he stole that championship. I wouldn't say he won it or, you know, let's just say he acquired the championship. So is it really his to be going after? You know, he's been meddling around, especially with Gabriel Livings and the outlaw Rusty Livings, meddling in their family business. He's butted in to a couple of my matches as well. So he's always on my radar. And, of course, that World Heavyweight Championship is, you know, right there in the back of my mind. It's always on my radar. So there will be a time when Chuck Yeager is stepping into that, you know, hopefully soon, maybe.
And you brought up the situation with the Livings family, and that has been an ongoing issue over the last several months with Jonathan Monroe trying to take control of Outlaw Rusty Livings' own son, Gabriel Livings. It appears he has finally managed to do that. Do you think that the fact that Jonathan Monroe has been involved with all of that, is it going to eventually cost him the title because he's going to be too distracted to maybe focus on the opponent in the ring with him, or do you think that he's going to recruit Gabriel Livings and use him as insurance to make sure he doesn't lose any of his matches?
Well, this goes back to what I said earlier about, you know, always having somebody to watch your back. If you've got a tag partner or, you know, in their case, a little cult following, then there's somebody there to help you, whether it's to retain it or distract you. As we saw, you know, relatively recently on WWE, you know, Finn Balor was out there to help and then turned on him. So their whole drink the Kool-Aid, you know, cult following thing, it's an ordeal and it's unpredictable right now.
One of the big issues within wrestling over the last several years has been the hot topic issue of blood as it relates to pro wrestling. There is a lot more we know about bloodborne pathogens in the last few years compared to, say, even 5 to 10 years ago, how they are spread, what can be done, so forth, so on. There are proponents on both sides. Some people don't think blood should be allowed in professional wrestling. Some people have no problem with blood in almost every single match. Some states have a commission that regulates what is allowed and what isn't when it comes to blood. Other states, there's no commission, so pretty much anything goes. Do you have a personal stance on blood as it relates to pro wrestling?
So I'm going to ask you a question. This is a contact sport, correct?
It is.
Football is a contact sport, correct?
Yes.
People bleed all the time in football. Hell, they break their bones all the time in football. We are doing the same thing here. So if they bleed, you know, from a cut or a scratch or whatever it may be, in football, millions of people are sitting there watching it. If you get a scratch or a cut in wrestling, it happens. There should be no difference between here and there. If you get bloody, it happens. It's a contact sport. Second chair shot to the head, you get bloody. It happens. You get thrown out of the ring onto a pile of chairs, you're going to get cut up. You go through a table, you're going to get cut up. Blood happens. People need to realize that. It's not something that, oh, I'm going to go to a wrestling show and there's not going to be any blood. You never know. It's something that people just, oh, hey, look, he went through a table. Yeah, he's going to bleed, you know, especially if he's got a big old gash. It's not something that you can particularly control. So I don't really have, you know, oh, you know, make sure there's no blood. No, things happen.
Now, since you have no problem with blood, one of the niche parts of pro wrestling has been death matches. We see a lot of death match only promotions across the country. There are death match tournaments held regularly in various parts of the country. It's a very popular, if small, minority of professional wrestling. Do you ever plan to dabble in the world of deathmatch wrestling?
At this point in my career, probably not. But if the situation comes to it, there's a possibility that blood could be shed. You know, they always say, never say never, right?
That is true. Most of the times in a wrestler's career, at some point they will start wondering if they could run their own promotion. Some guys like to run a one-off show just to have the experience of having ran it. Some guys look at it as a potential future career for after the ring days are over. Some people have that as the ultimate goal in the business, is running their own company. Have you ever given thought at this point to potentially ever starting your own promotion?
I'll be honest with you, not at all. I've seen the stress that goes on with putting together a show. I've seen the stress that goes on with having to deal with tickets and setup and rings and your talent. I live a very stress-free life. Like, my life is all about stress-free. So that's something that I don't think I want to dabble in.
Fair enough. Another part of pro wrestling that is vital for the continuation of the industry is training. There are a lot of training schools out there. Like you said, you started out in California training and then moved to Wrestle Club, which has trained a lot of really great talent. There are schools, big and small, good and bad, all over the place, but everybody's got to start somewhere and get that initial training. Have you ever considered eventually doing training?
We train all the time. We've got our local trainers here at Wrestle Club that we train with all the time. If you're talking about going out to, like, say, the Nightmare Factory or the, what would it be called? My memory's not the best. The Heart Dungeon. If the opportunity presents itself, I'd love to go out there and train with them, see how they do, what they do out there, how they do it. You know, like I said, anything that is able to better myself, I'm willing to do.
Have you ever thought of you yourself training anyone to wrestle?
No. I am not certified, one. Two, I'm not the best at teaching people how to do stuff. I'm more of a I'll go out there and do it myself type of guy.
One of the most important parts of a wrestler's belongings is, of course, their wrestling gear. A lot of wrestlers will take a lot of pride in having custom gear made by quality gear makers. Some guys will take whatever is available now on high spots. Others have non-traditional wrestling gear like overalls or dress clothes or what have you. I know you've changed up a little bit as far as your gear in your career. Do you have that set go-to gear maker that you use?
I do not. I have been blessed enough to luckily have my gear gifted to me.
Now, has anyone given you a gift of gear and it's got someone else's name on it?
No. This was custom made with my name on it, Project Mayhem's name on it, and our logos.
So we're not going to see you come to the ring with a pair of trunks that say Massimo on it that you got for your birthday.
You wouldn't catch me dead wearing with something like that.
Fair enough. In order to house all of this gear, the wrestler's gear bag is an important thing that they own. Some wrestlers will just throw everything into like a plastic grocery bag and bring it to the arena. Others will use like a backpack or a duffel bag that they can sling over their shoulder. Lots of wrestlers will study what the most recent luggage is for airline pilots, and they will adopt that as their gear bag. Do you have a go-to for your own physical gear bag that you use?
I personally have a small suitcase and a backpack. The suitcase holds all of my gear. The backpack holds my clean clothes and snacks. Like I said, snacks are important. But I also started out using a Walmart shopping bag with my gear on it. My debut match, I had all my gear thrown into that. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
That is very true. Now, Wrestle Club has wrestled events on the various extremes of weather conditions. They do a lot of outdoor events, and in the summer it can get very sweltering hot and humid, such as when they do the show at the fair and it's 90 plus degrees. They also do events New Year's Eve outside in front of the state capitol building when it is 20 degrees and there is snow in the ring. So they have ran the gamut as far as weather on outdoor shows. What do you have to do in order to be able to wrestle in these extreme weather conditions?
Drink water. Drink water. That's the most important thing to do when it's in the heat. Or in the cold, I mean, you can still, I mean, for the hot, obviously drink the water. If you're cold, keep yourself warm. But when you're in the ring, especially during the winter times, you're constantly moving. You're constantly working your body. You're constantly working up a sweat. By the end of the match, you're nice and toasty. You don't even feel how cold it is sometimes. But for the summer times, it's especially important to drink water and stretch. You don't want to be cramping up. You don't want to be lightheaded and dizzy when you're out there in the ring because you're putting a lot on your body. You're getting slammed around out there by some of the biggest people that we have here. It hurts. It's violent. It's brutal on your body. Your body needs to be conditioned for that. You can't just wake up and be like, yeah, I'm going to go wrestle in 100-degree heat with no preparation. You got to prepare your body for all that, and it starts with drinking water and stretching and making sure that your body is right for those conditions. Does it suck? Oh, yeah, it's hot. It's gross. It's sticky. It's stinky. It's disgusting in the summer, and it's cold in the winter. But we still do it.
You mentioned that you have snacks. Do you bring a lot of bananas with you to replace the potassium, especially during those really hot outdoor shows when you're sweating so much?
It's also a good point, yes. Bananas, they do help, too. They help prevent you from cramping up. It's one of the, you know, good things about them. I do bring, you know, an occasional banana or two. Fruit helps a lot as well, keeps your body hydrated. You know, if you're not a big water drinker, fruit helps a lot. Watermelon has a lot of water in it.
Hence the name, yes. Now, as much stretching as you do, as much as you maintain cardio and diet and all that, every wrestler is going to suffer the occasional injury, whether it's something relatively minor like a dislocated finger or a sprained ankle, or something much more serious like a dislocated shoulder or a fractured tibia. It's just part of the natural part of professional wrestling. What are some of the injuries you've had to deal with thus far?
The biggest one was a concussion at last year's Canyon County Fair, I believe it was, in a tag match against Damian Black and Garibay, I believe it was. I got hit right inside the head, got a concussion, don't remember part of the match. I've had, you know, back pain, leg pain, shoulder pain. I mean, after a match, you don't feel any of that. Your adrenaline is going. So it's the next day when you wake up that you feel stiff and you're hurting. But luckily I've been blessed with no broken bones, no dislocated, no torn, no rips, no nothing like that other than the concussion. And, of course, now that I say that, my whole body's going to go to shit.
Probably. Now, did you experience the common wrestling mystery of you got concussed, you don't remember a good part of the match, but you wrestled perhaps one of the best matches you've ever had?
Isn't every match that I wrestle my best match?
I mean, There is that.
You should know this.
Did you do it while concussed?
The match carried on. I made it through.
One of those little mysteries we've never solved about pro wrestlers. They can instinctively go out there and have the best match they ever had, not remember a single thing about it.
I mean, you said it. It's your instinct. It's your body just knowing what to do in those situations when obviously your mind doesn't.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure there's ample time for you if you want to plug and promote anything at all, social media, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything at all. If you have anything you want to say to the listeners, floor is all yours.
Oh, let's see here. Where to start? We've got Natural Selection happening for Wrestle Club this Saturday here in Nampa, Idaho at Lloyd Square. I believe that start time is 7. And I believe tickets are already on sale. If you go to WrestleClub on Facebook.com, you can find it. As for merch, we discussed that a little while ago. Keep your eyes peeled. We might have some more stuff coming there. I mean, BCW, I've got my eyes on coming back there some more. I've got my eyes, you know, outside the realms of, you know, Idaho and Utah, seeing what we can get started come 2025. You know, big changes are coming for myself, for Project Mayhem, for the club as a whole.
All right. Well, Chuck Yeager, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your night to be with us. We definitely appreciate it. I'm sure I will see you at some point in the relatively near future, and best of luck as you continue after some more championships.
I appreciate you having me on the show. Always a pleasure.
All right, fans, if you see Chuck Yeager is going to be on a show near you, go buy a ticket. Always very, very entertaining. He's always getting better, so make sure you get out there and support what he is doing. We will be back with you on Friday afternoon. We have Eric Cole, the Wrestle Club commentator, with us on Friday afternoon. We wrap up Wrestle Club month with God's Gift, Jonathan Monroe. So make sure you have plans to be with us. We will talk to you soon. Everybody stay safe out there and support your local independents.
Yeah, the bright and high low sky. the sound.